And then if you look at verse number 2, and this is what I liked about this. It said, our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Now, this morning, I mentioned this, and I've seen it again today, tonight, that when we begin to worship together, that when I came to the building and I pulled in, I seen the cars in the parking lot. And I seen this morning, the doors wasn't quite open yet. I think Rob had just came in through this door and he was over, and people were already lining up outside. And I said, isn't this wonderful? I said, people, you couldn't wait to get in here. To be able to be in fellowship with your brothers and sisters and to worship the wonderful God who created us and who saved us. So I was enthused by that, and I thought about how David and the people of Jerusalem were waiting outside the gate just for it to open up so they can say, here we are, God. We're here to worship you and to praise you. And that's how we should be today. We are here to worship God and praise God. And you know something? You think about this, that we are under a better covenant than they were. We have better promise than they did. So therefore, we should be even more enthused to come and worship our God. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And looking at verse number 22. Because the Bible says here, but you have come to Mount Zion, and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to the innumerable company of angels, to the general assembling and the church of the firstborn, who are registered where? In heaven. You see that? To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. You see how we have such a better covenant. We have such a better mediator. So therefore, there is no excuse for us to not want to come and serve this God, our God, the living God, to praise him and to do his will. But you know, I was thinking about the fact that there are some people who have become comfortable during this time that we're going through and how we weren't able to come together and there were things that we had to do that we have never done before. The doors were shut. We were at home. But sometimes things are done for a reason. And we know what that reason is, and we were being cautious and careful. But now we see a pathway for us to come together once again. Because what we did before was maybe God's permissible will, but this is God's perfect will. That the people of God gather together and be one together and worship to him. But I know some people have gotten comfortable. And there might be some who are saying, you know, I like this deal, sitting at home. You know, I don't have to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Lord's Day morning and, you know, get dressed, come out to this church building, jump in my car, have to travel there. I kind of got used to this, you know, tuning in the TV and looking at some live stream somewhere or listening to different people preach on the TV. This is not a bad deal. But you would be mistaken. Because God expects his people to come together and worship Him as the family of God. And when we do, we're the ones that benefit the most. You want to become weak? Stay at home. Because your strength is in the family, and that is the church. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25. Some of you probably already knew I was going there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Now that's the command, okay? And I know I don't have to explain it anymore, but I will. But that's the command. And if God says to do it, then we should do it. We shouldn't have any questions as to what God asks us and tells us to do. And just because we don't understand it, that doesn't give us a right to question it. God says do it, we do it. But understand this, God always has a purpose for what He tells you to do. We might not understand it at this time, but by and by we will. I think about Abraham when he was told to leave his homeland and go to a land that he knew nothing about. Didn't even know how to get there until God had guided him. He didn't question. By faith, he did what he was supposed to do. And you know what? Even though he didn't understand why, but later on, he found out. Because God said, I'm going to make your lineage great and give them a land that they will prosper in. So he didn't understand it then. But by and by, he did. And just like some things we might not understand, why God tells us to do something, you just hang in there. The purpose will be revealed. But the purpose is already revealed right here. Look up the next verse, the verse above it. In verse 24, before he says this, he says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. In other words, don't be selfish. We are to come together in order for us to help one another. That's why we come together. To praise God, to worship Him according to His will, in spirit and in truth, and to encourage one another. But I'm going a little further. Go up to verse number 19. Because God breaks down to us who we are and what great blessings that we have from what we have done. Look at verse number 19. It says, therefore, brethren, having the boldness, and that word is confidence, to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies, washed with pure water. Now, let's look what's going on here. First, he says, therefore, we should have the confidence to enter the holiest by the blood of Christ. You know what he's talking about here when he talks about the holiest? You remember in the temple, under the old covenant, there was a veil that separated the common area of the temple and the holies of holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was. And remember, the only person that was able to enter through that veil was the high priest. So therefore, if you wanted your sins forgiven, you wanted atonement, it had to be the high priest that had to take your offering behind the veil and make the sacrifice for you. But look what it says here. he says that we should have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Christ. He said, by a new living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. Remember over in Matthew chapter 27, I believe, when Jesus died on the cross, many things had happened at that time. But the one thing in particular that happened is that that curtain was rent in two. So the Holy of Holies, where the ark was exposed. And what the writer here is trying to let us know is that you and I now have access to God where we never had before by the blood of Christ, because Christ is now the veil in which we enter in to God. So therefore, if we are a part of the church, we have the opportunity now to go to God with confidence and say to God, I'm a sinner. I have done wrong. Please forgive me. I don't have to go through no high priest. I don't have to go through no preacher, no elder, no clergy person. I don't have to go through none of that to go to God. The access is open for you and I. I sin, I can get down on my knees by myself and ask for forgiveness. So it's been opened up for us. And God had done that through his Son and made it possible for us, because he became the high priest over the house of God. And then he says this in verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance. That is knowing that God would do what he says he's going to do if we do what we're supposed to do. So he says, come with full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You see that word sprinkle there? Okay. It deals with the idea of our repentance. Our heart has to be true. And at first, when we come to God, we come in faith. And then our heart has to be changed. And it's by the blood of Christ, our faith in him, that our heart will be changed. And we come to repentance to him. And then it says that we must be washed with pure water. And that's a reference to our obedience and baptism, that we are to come obeying his will, being baptized into Christ, to be raised to walk in the newness of life, and then we can have that access to God. And then in verse 23, he says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Reminds me of Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. It says, be faithful unto what? Unto death, and you receive a crown of life. So now we are to hold fast to our confession of faith. And then he incorporates this with, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. We have a responsibility to one another because of what God has done for us and gave us that access to him. And we are to use that in helping one another. That's why we're here. That's why we're here together. God could have made it so that, you know, you get saved and then you just go on your own and just do your thing. But that's not what God did. God brought us together as a family in order for us to do the work of the Lord, to edify and encourage one another. So, as we see this, I notice that the pattern of the early Christians, we see this exactly what's happened. In Acts chapter 2, We read about when the church began, and it said that they were continuing in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And then if you read a little further on, we see how they met in the temple. They met house to house, and they were just gathering together in order for them to do God's will. They were a family sharing with one another. And then over in Acts chapter 20, we see how they come together to break bread. That is an example of the Lord's Supper. And it was something that they continuously did every first day of the week. And then I read about how Paul, how he always longed to be with the saints. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 18, he said, "Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul." But notice this. He said, "Time and time again, Satan has hindered us." And that's what we need to be careful of, especially right now. Satan is always trying to use something to his advantage to hinder us from doing God's will. Just like I mentioned earlier, there are some people who are comfortable right now staying at home. You know, just doing it there. I'm not talking about those who have a legitimate concern about what's going on. We understand that. But there are some who have made up in their mind, I probably don't even have to go to the church building anymore. I can just do this at home. There were people who were doing that before this happened. But that's a trick of Satan. Because the longer you stay home, the weaker you get. So we need to be careful. Satan tried to keep Paul away from the Christians, but Paul's desire was to be in fellowship with the church. Even when he was in prison, Paul had sent for Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, about verse 9, he would say, "Be diligent to come to me quickly." And then he talked about those who have forsaken him, Demas being one. And then he asked for Timothy to come, bring him some items that he needed. He said, "Luke's with me, but Timothy, I want you to come as well." And then he said, "You know what? Bring Mark too, because he's useful to me." Paul always wanted to be in fellowship with the saints, to encourage them and also to be encouraged. He longed to be around the faithful. And we should be as well. We should long to be around the faithful, because this is where our strength lies. We have strength in singing. We have strength in praying together. We have strength in just the fellowship and having the Lord's Supper together. We have strength in hearing the word, because it helps us to grow and do the very things that God would have us to do. But you know, this is all good while we're here. But you know what I'm looking for? The reason why I do what I do now, because I'm looking forward to that ultimate gathering of the saints one day. And that is when we all get to heaven. What a glorious day that is going to be. When we all see his face and we all go marching in through those pearly gates. In Revelation chapter 21, beginning at verse 1, the Bible says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city of New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God, oh, I like this part here, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. God will keep his promise. God will make it so. And in verse 6 it says, And he said to me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And if that's not good enough for you, Revelation chapter 22, beginning at verse number 5, the Bible says, And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was a tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of sun. For the Lord gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. You see, dear people, there will be a day when we, all of God's children, will be together. And that means all the saints from everywhere. From over in Africa, from over in Asia, over in Australia, the North and South America, all the saints will be gathered together in one place, and all of us will be marching in. You know, there's a song, I know some of you know this song, it's When the Saints Go Marching In. And you know, one of the verses that says, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, I want to be numbered. I don't know about you, but I want to be numbered when we all go marching in. You know, we sing another song too. We're marching to Zion. Because as we're here, that's what we're doing. We are marching our way to that heavenly home. But we have to be in step with the way God would have us to do it. So, who are the ones that's going to be marching in? That's a good question. I think I'm ready to answer it. The Bible says, it's those who are saved by the blood of the Lamb, and those who are washed by the blood of the Lamb. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 5, the Bible says, To him who loved us and washed us from our sins, in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests. Remember in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9? It might be 1 Peter. One of your brothers is going to check that for me, I know. But he talked about how we are a special people and we are a royal priesthood. And that's what I was talking about earlier, the fact that we ourselves have that access to God. We don't have to go through anybody else. But he made us a priesthood. And that's why he says we are kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, to get in, we have to be washed by the blood of Christ. So that means that if you are not washed by the blood, guess what? You're not marching in. Because let me tell you something. You can't get there from here unless you know the way. You see, heaven's not a place you just stumble into. You know, you don't get there by mistake. You're going to have some directions in order to get to heaven. Because heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Notice what Jesus says. Go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Some of you guys know this by heart, but sometimes we need to read it to get some emphasis. John chapter 14. The Bible says here, let not your heart be troubled. This is Jesus speaking. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But look at verse number 4. He says, and where I go, you know, and the way, you know. You see, there is a way that we get there. And it's not a physical direction. You know, like God doesn't tell you to, okay, go out here and make a right turn on Sugarloaf and make a left turn onto Scenic Road 124 there, and take that all the way down until you get to Pinehurst Road there, and make a left turn, and you come to a stop sign, you get to the street called Roxbury, and then you go around there and you come to a place called Radbury Lane. I just gave you our directions to my house. If you want to come over, please do. Bring some food when you do, all right? But God doesn't give us those kind of directions to heaven. The directions he gives us is spiritual directions. And he tells us what they are. Look at verse number 6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except who? Through me. See, you don't get to heaven by mistake. You get there by being washed by the blood of the Lamb. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. So how do we do that? Very good question. The first thing you need to know is that you have to have faith in God. You have to have faith because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse number 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Now you see that word rewarder? You know what your reward is for following God? Heaven. If we continue to follow God and do his will, his blessings will be overflowing, and heaven will be our home. But then the Bible teaches us that once we have that faith, that we need to repent of our sins. No sinner will ever make it into heaven. That's the book. So you need to repent of your sins. You need to change your heart. Peter would say in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, when asked, what must we do? He would say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the Holy Spirit. But then the Bible teaches us we need to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, Because whether you confess it or not, he still is. And you will be called on the day of judgment for you not accepting him as your Savior. Jesus will say, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. And then the Bible tells us to be baptized into Christ. And that's how we come to obey the gospel of Christ. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and to be baptized. Because you know when you are baptized into Christ, you come in contact with the blood of Christ. We are dipped in the water. We come up to walk in the newness of life. Jesus says in Mark chapter 16 and 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, I don't know if anybody needs to be baptized tonight or need to come obey the gospel, but this is the perfect time. I know there's a lot going on in the world, and because of that, you need to look at this and say, wow, we are so vulnerable. Anything can happen at any time. It could before, but look at what's happening now. Can you afford to have your soul in jeopardy? This is the perfect opportunity for you. Everything is ready. The water's clean. The baptismal garments are clean. We make sure of that. You might go out of here tonight, and it'd be the last time that you ever enter through those doors. I'm not trying to scare you. Look around at what's going on. We never know. But if that happens because of your obedience to God and faithfulness to him, you can be assured of a better place. But you know, there's something else we need to understand too. The Bible says for us, Revelations 2 and 10, that we need to be faithful until death. So there could be someone here who has obeyed the gospel but have not been faithful. It might be time for you to come back and rededicate yourself to God, repent of your sins. So you might be back on that path, marching to Zion. But it's up to you. I remember the older preachers I used to be around, you say, why, that blood is still running warm in your vein. You have an opportunity. But when it runs cold, time is up. It's up to you whether you want to come and obey. Bruce, what song was that again? 276. Come on forward, Bruce. If you need to come, if you need to obey the gospel, do it now.